Only at True North stores, new True Rewards members. Stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 10 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 20 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 30 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store, download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Hi, I'm PJ Vogt, and I want to tell you about my podcast, Search Engine. We try to make sense of the world, one question at a time. No question too big, no question too small. We will even answer your questions if you send them in. Stuff like, what happens when a cemetery goes out of business? What should we do about teens using AI to do their homework? Who buys luggage at the airport luggage store? Follow and listen to Search Engine in partnership with Odyssey wherever you get your podcasts.
There has been a movement to bring thousands of people back downtown. PNC ordered workers back, almost 20,000 people. It's big. It's important. And I fully support it. With that influx, I'm getting an insane amount of feedback from folks who are disgusted with what they're seeing as they return back downtown. Just this week, I posted a video that went viral of a woman defecating in a planter. It was disgusting. Mad Max took a walk downtown yesterday with at least a dozen overdosed drug addicts on the streets. Had to call 911 several times. And then a video that I had to think long and hard about posting because it's rather vulgar. Several employees reached out who work downtown. And this happened lunchtime, right in the heart of downtown. Right on 6th at Fort Duquesne Boulevard, right out in public with employees ordered back to work watching a woman, a sex worker, perform oral sex on a man. Right there, broad daylight. And the mayor called me about it. A bunch of cops called me about it. And there's this narrative that the sex workers are at it because what they're doing has been decriminalized and they know it. I don't know. I find all of it to be a mess that needs to be addressed. Someone who always speaks up, who always fights this fight, Council Member Barb Warwick. Good morning, Barb. How are you?
Good morning. How are you?
Fabulous. First of all, I sent her the video because, quite frankly, I respect her feedback. She's outspoken, and she's represented a group of leaders that suggest that sex workers and those acts should be decriminalized. Yes, Barb?
The penalty reduced. Yes. That is what we passed, right? Yep. So the thought process behind it. So I think we can start from a place of if a person is performing sex work, as you said, out in the street, in public, something very, very wrong is going on,
true,
right? This is a person who
true
needs help,
true,
right? This is a person who needs to be cared for. That is not a situation that someone who is in a good state of mind, who is in a good place in
true
their life,
true,
wants to be in. So when you talk about what, you know, the penalty before basically was arrest and a $2,000 fine. That
true
was the minimum,
yeah,
right? The minimum
yeah
that would happen. So I don't see how, and you know, we're talking, I don't know who this individual is,
no,
but I don't see how going to jail overnight or whatever, or you know what I mean, or for a couple of days or whatever it is, and paying it and then owing a $2,000 fine helps get that person out of the situation that they are in. You know, now, of course, of the incident of what is happening in public, and
yes
that is not,
yes,
right,
yes,
not be happening, that is a call to police, and police,
it
of
is
course, should come
it
and
is
deal with that situation and make sure that those people stop doing what it is that they are doing. You know, locking up that particular sex worker for this, what we call survival sex work, right? And this is assuming that was consensual. I don't know. Again, this is not This is a case for this is a case that would that needs care, not criminalization.
And from a criminal aspect, Barb, there isn't even a vice squad anymore, so there isn't even anyone to investigate this stuff, and I think that's problematic, don't you?
That's not something that I've heard, that there isn't a vice squad.
Okay.
I'd have to follow up on that.
It's very random.
We worked with the vice squad. We talked through the legislation with them back last year, yeah.
So I couldn't agree with her more. I find what she's saying to be spot on, because that's a young girl in that video who's taking payment very clearly for a sex act. There's no way in hell that happens unless she's drug addict, right? Right, Barb?
I mean, I don't want to speculate on her individual situation, but yes, she's not in a good place.
Seriously, mentally ill, something dramatic has happened.
Not in a good place. Right, yes, on. Something, yes.
But yes. Somehow, Barb, we got to address it, because you agree with me, this cannot happen at lunchtime in the middle of Pittsburgh, can it?
So, right. So here's the thing that I think that is important. So we have these incidences,
yes,
right?
Yes.
Just yesterday, we had a post agenda talking about the issue with the teens, right, who are getting in trouble.
Yes.
And in the post agenda, what really we landed on is that, you know, you're talking about a very small percentage of kids.
True.
Who and we had one story, of course, anecdotal, of from the commander who was at the post agenda, of a 13-year-old who they had arrested, I think he said maybe 3 or 4 times over and over for stealing cars. A 13-year-old, right?
Sad.
So my question is, right, again, this is a now we're switching, right? This is
no,
a child.
It, it's a big picture thing.
Who
yeah.
is in, who something is going terribly wrong.
Oh, hell yeah.
So what is the protocol? And that's a question that I think that's the more important question, right? I mean, there's obviously the sort of shock of seeing what happens. But the solution is, what is the protocol for those, you know, cases that are not that frequent, right? That's not every 13-year-old. But what are we doing if we see the same child over and over again getting arrested, committing felonies? I mean, that's a major,
sure.
That's a, you know, how are we intervening? What is the protocol for those unique cases? City, county, social workers, outreach work,
true.
all these things.
True.
And I would say the same for the situation of this woman in the video, right?
Yes.
Like, this is not something you see. I mean, you know, I'm downtown. It's not something you see on every street corner in downtown.
No, ma'am.
This is out of the ordinary.
It is.
But how are we addressing it? And if she's there day after day after day, how are we as a city, as a county, reaching out to her and making sure she has the resources she needs so she does not need to keep doing it?
Hey, Barb, I see this creep post NFL draft. We had Oz, the Golden City. And then as soon as it's over, my friend hit the streets yesterday and found a dozen drug addicts high on the streets. There's a woman having sex with a man on the streets. There's a woman crapping in a planter on the streets. Somewhere something went south again, Barb. We can't let this slide back into this grimy phase, can we, Barb?
Look, this is what I want to say. So we have, and we had the same conversation at the table yesterday,
I'm
right?
Sure.
Where this time last year, I think we were at like 25 citations downtown, and now we're up to like 95. It was something like that,
yeah,
right?
Yeah,
so
yeah.
There's a big difference. So,
yeah.
This is a new administration. Like, literally, we are what, 5 months in? Okay, this is a new administration. It takes a little bit of time. And these problems are ongoing. Like, these are problems that need to be dealt with all the time, consistently, consistently.
Absolutely.
It is not a one and done.
Absolutely.
It is not a box that can be.
Absolutely. Whoa, someone just kicked her off. What was that? I get so annoyed with this process. She's in the middle of making a point, and somehow somebody appears on camera, calling in 20 minutes before the next interview. I'm going to send that person a note. I know who that is. We're going to take a break, and we're going to get Barb back. It's only fair.
only at True North stores, new True Rewards members. Stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 10 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 20 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 30 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store, download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Looking for something smart, soulful, and full of heart? I'm Jen Hatmaker, host of For the Love, the podcast where we talk about what really matters. Love and family, faith and purpose. Every week, I'm joined by incredible guests for honest conversations that invite all of us to live with more intention, more laughter, and more connection. Join us on For the Love wherever you get your podcasts.
We blew up Barb Warwick. That's our fault. Technical stuff. It happened. She's back. And so is Mad Max. Max is one of my boys. Max, you've seen the city backsliding a post-NFL draft. The woman crapping in the planter. The sex acts. The drug addicts. You've seen all this. Have you not, sir? And it bothers you.
I have, and it does. And I hate to be Debbie Downer, but I saw this book. I've read it. I've seen it take place in Portland, Seattle. I've been all over the country. I know how it works. And I knew once this was cleaned up for the NFL, after they were gone, it was going to slide back in like it does everywhere else.
And Barb Warwick, you suggest this is a long-term problem. It can't be fixed overnight. And I don't want to speak for you, but that's fair, right? That's what you're saying.
Yes, it's a long-term problem and it requires ongoing support, right? Like ongoing care of these folks. We have an amazing Office of Community Health and Safety. So, you know, over the past few years, that bureau, well, it's grown from sort of a handful of social workers to an entire bureau, right? And so I just think now, again, I wanna give, you know, a new administration, new leadership in public safety. True. Like, they need time. True. I mean, it's only been a handful of months. They've been dealing with the NFL draft. True. I mean, I know it would be easy for me to come out here and be like, oh, whatever, this isn't, but
I'm not asking you to,
you know. Right. So the NFL draft was a huge lift that, you know, that has just ended. And, you know, these groups, it takes a little time to have everyone synced up. But what we need is, right, that co-response. That's the word, right? Co-response, where you have the police, you have our safe, you know, Office of Community Health and Safety workers going out and, you know, connecting with you. So you're saying there are people who are having overdose emergencies on, you know, outside on the street. Those folks need help, right? And if it's something that's happening over and over again, we need to be working again. And this is work that has been happening as we've seen. So I think that, you know, also summer, there's always an uptick in yep. summer, right? It's warm outside. People are coming from the inside to the outside. So that's also something that you see. It's the Office of Community Health and Safety is really a wonderful department. DHS has been doing wonderful work over the past, you know, four years.
I'm going to have to interrupt you about the juveniles because I've lived this and we live it every day. I've seen stabbings. We had a woman knocked unconscious by a 12-year-old and then beaten by six others. Windows broken, armed robberies, shootings. And what happens, Barb, is they write citations and send them home to mommy and daddy, and they're back on the streets within 4 hours. I see it every single day. There is no plan to address this. There just isn't. It's scary. It's scary, Barb.
But again, I think, and this is what we were talking about at the post agenda yesterday, right? The children who are committing these very violent acts, right? This is a small percentage, right? Like most of our kids are good, like most of our kids. But, you know, for kids who are acting out in this way, it may be that it's safer for them to be out on the street than it is to be in their home, right? So when we have kids, and especially when we have kids,
they're still stabbing people and robbing people. I get all the social stuff. But they nearly killed a woman walking from her damn job. And I interviewed her, and she's afraid to come downtown. I get, let's hug it out. But at some point, we gotta grab these kids. We gotta stop this, Barb.
But look, if you have a child, right? For example, the 13-year-old who's stolen multiple cars, right? They, you know, time after time after time. We need to intervene with that child. There's something going. It is not enough to just arrest the child over and over again.
They arrest him and kick him out in the streets, and the judges, out, right? Then the judges send him home to mom. And Schumann's gone. There's nowhere to put him. It's horrible, horrible.
So, but that is where we need to come together, right? And
we
think as the government, right? It is not enough. As you said, it is not enough to just let them, like, something is not working, right? And oftentimes these fixes are very individualized, right? And it isn't a lot of kids. See, it feels to me, it feels doable, right? It feels like if we can put a protocol together to address these outlying cases. Now, hyper, you know, extreme violence, of course, like shooting, stabbing, that type of thing. But, you know, stealing cars, crimes that, you know, property crimes, those kinds of things. I feel like I don't think that it helps to throw those children, to incarcerate those children. I don't think it's the same as we're talking, like, what good does that do to throw them in jail for 2 months and then what? Now they're back. How does that help? How does that solve their problem?
Barb,
it doesn't.
Warren. Thanks, Barb. I appreciate you. You always stand up. Thanks, Barb.
Okay, take care. Have a good one. Bye.
Mad Max, what do you do? You got a minute. How do you fix it immediately? How do you address it? You heard, Barb.
Well, like I said before, I think what we need to do is start putting these kids on little work details. You know, we're not going to put them in Schumann Center, but put them on little work details around the city, cleaning it up to show them that there is consequences for their actions.
I love his idea, and I hope they're listening. It's brilliant. It's not throwing them in a cell and locking them up and saying, die in here. It's saying, let's engage. And I think you and Barb Warwick, which is scary for you, are kind of sort of dancing on the same floor. But Max is right. He lives it. The grime is back, Max. Is it not, sir? It's back. And the sex act, Max, was disgusting. Is it not, Max? Lunchtime, Pittsburgh. Is it not, Max? Right? We lost them. All right. We lost everyone today. We're on a friggin' roll.
Only at True North stores, new True Rewards members. Stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 10 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 20 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 30 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store, download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Hey there, I'm Kendra Adachi, and my show, The Lazy Genius Podcast, helps you be a genius about the things that matter and lazy about the things that don't, and you get to decide what matters. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm here to give you a new way to see. Episodes of The Lazy Genius Podcast are full of compassionate time management tips and permission slips to do what makes sense for you. New episodes drop every Monday. Follow and listen to The Lazy Genius Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Man, it's been a hell of a day, man. Wow. Oh, my goodness. I got a text all day yesterday from either friends that I know that have had a kidney transplants or folks that we got kidneys for who are alive. And one of my boys sent me, his wife actually gave him her kidney, which is, wow. He would have died. And I have Ryan on hold. Ryan, we used our social media and his daughter's social media, and he's going to help us again because he's a magnificent man. It saved his life. He was going to die. He would have died. He had like 5% kidney function. It was insane. We had Dr. Tivar on yesterday as we start this process of, I have a plan to make this a regular thing. We want to save lives. And that sounds like big picture stuff, but we can do this. We have found kidneys for about 5 people, waitresses, fathers. It's with social media and engagement and people who care, and Tivar at UPMC, probably the best surgeon in America at this, we're all in. And so, and before I get to my guest, I want to mention this. Every single day, 13 people die waiting for a kidney. About 5,000 a year waiting for a kidney, they die. You can't stay on dialysis forever. It beats your ass. But we're going into this stuff with an open mind and optimistic as I introduce David. David, how are you, my man? It's quite a journey, isn't it?
Yes, it has been, Marty.
It's stressful as hell, isn't it?
Very much so. You know, I go to bed at night thinking about it and, you know, whether somebody will come forward and consider donating for me.
Tell folks your story. How did you get to this situation and what's your circumstance right now with your kidney failure?
Okay. I'm 64 years old, lifetime resident of Pennsylvania, Pittsburgh. I've got a great wife and 2 kids and 5 grandchildren under the age of 9. I was diagnosed with chronic kidney disease about 5 years ago. And over the course of that time, my kidney function has progressively been declining. As of January of this year, I was placed on the active list for kidney donation. I've been feeling fine. I'm not symptomatic in any way. But emotionally, it's been a struggle for me. I do find myself getting down, but I have a great wife who is the absolute love of my life.
David Lackner joining us. This is a hell trip. And David, I want to introduce Ryan. Ryan, tell David what your kidney function was at when we started looking for you.
4%. It was at 4%.
How many times a week were you in dialysis?
3 times a week, 4 hours a day.
And how long did it take us once we got on board and your daughter got on board? How long did it take us to find you a kidney donor?
6 months.
Right.
Less than that.
And speak to David because he's listening. Give him some hope that there is hope and opportunity and there are great people.
Absolutely. Putting your trust in what you're doing right now, going to dialysis and trusting your family members is the best thing you can do. But with Marty reaching out to help and Tivar on your side, I always say that they cast a megaphone, a huge net that it makes success. It decreases that time. You got to stay positive, and you know the last years, the last era of your life is going to be so much different. I can hear it in your voice.
Yep.
But I know that the next time we talk after you get that kidney, that we're going to be hearing you smiling while you talk. That's for sure.
Hey, David, have you had any luck with possible donors, buddy?
Well, my wife was tested.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, she's pre-diabetic.
Yeah.
So they wouldn't allow her to be a kidney donor. My son has high blood pressure. And my daughter is too small. So her kidney is too small for me, just based on size. I have certainly reached out to family and friends. Up to this point, I haven't found a kidney donor yet.
Patrick, we have the links up, UPMC, because David, you're hooked in with the program, are you not, sir?
Yes, I am fully hooked up. I'm on the active list as of January this year.
We're going to post all this on social afterward. And Ryan, please give him the confidence that I don't give up until we win. Tell him that, please, Ryan.
That's it. I mean, every day you look in the mirror and you tell yourself it's going to happen. You know, you have to find the why. You talk about your wife, your family, yep. Your grandkids. Yeah, you find the why and you do it for them.
You know, what happened through social media and this campaign, David, a woman, it's a crazy story. Well, you tell it, mm-hmm. Ryan. Tell him how you got your kidney and where it came from. It's crazy, please.
Yeah, so I have a very large network, and I have a huge Italian family, and everyone was beating down my door to get tested. And similar, people had high blood pressure, diabetes. They couldn't donate. So out of nowhere, through Marty and through my daughter, a very, angel-like lady in Cleveland, she is very selfless. She found the story through social media and through KDKA. She heard our story, and she donated. And, all the way from Cleveland. Who would have thought?
It's crazy.
Most times people are local. But, geez, all the way from Cleveland.
It's crazy.
She was just so compelled by the story because of how we put it out there and how Marty put it out there.
Hey, Ryan, tell David what else she did, which is crazy.
So years ago, she donated a piece of her liver to an infant.
Come on.
And saved her life, yeah. And the girl is still alive. And when I asked her, what else is there to do, she said that she still has bone marrow that she can donate.
David, so yes. There's hope, my man. We're in this, my man, full time, all right?
Well, I certainly agree with you, Marty. And, I'm a firm believer that God gave us two kidneys so you could donate a kidney to somebody who really needed it.
I am convinced that with a social media, and Ryan, I'm gonna ask you to ask your daughter to help us out again. Will she do that?
She would love to. Yeah, have the confidence. We will get this done.
It's a little crazy, David. His daughter has like 200,000 followers. She's an insane, gifted softball player. And so she gets the word out around the country and around the world, and that also helps.
That is fabulous.
And my man, Ryan, tell him, because it's important, tell him that feeling down is kind of part of the process and that it's not unusual to be depressed about this or afraid. Tell him, please, Ryan.
No, it is. I mean, it is absolutely part of the process. It's hard not to when you're faced with that. You just have to understand that is how you feel. And what I did was I used that to drive me. I used that to push me every day. I used that negativity to push me to say, I can do this. We are going to do this. And it gets done. We will get this done.
And Ryan, tell them how you're feeling, man.
I feel amazing. Absolutely amazing. My numbers, this is 3 years. My numbers continue to go down in a good way.
Yeah.
My numbers are still improving after 3 years.
And there were times when you were about to give up. Were you not, sir?
My gosh. On that dialysis, it attacks everything.
It's
every
awful.
Part of your body.
It's awful.
There's just some days where you just want to go to bed and not wake up for hours.
David, we're in, my man. We're all in, brother.
I appreciate it, Marty. And hats off to my wife. She's been so positive for me.
It's a struggle, man. I've seen it firsthand. And when I had cancer and was sick as hell, I had the same unicorn in my life, my wife squeezing my hand and pulling me across the finish line. So we're in this together, David. Appreciate you, brother.
Thank you.
And Tivar loves you, man. He's an amazing surgeon. He's a hell of a man, isn't he, Ryan?
Yes, absolutely. The best in the country.
The best in the country. UPMC brings it. David, thanks for doing this, my man. We're all in, brother. Thanks for your patience, buddy. We're going to go get this, all right?
Thanks for having me on, Marty. I so much appreciate it.
It's a pleasure. Ryan, you're my man, brother. Love you.
Love you, brother. Can't wait to help.
We can't do this without people who give a damn, and they all do. Love these stories. What's more important, this or how many people showed up for Bruce? Oh, I don't know. We've done this dance before with a kidneys raising awareness, and Patrick knows the logistics. Kind of walk people through it, Patrick, if they want to help David out.
Sure. So I've put the links for UPMC's Living Donor Program in our in the streams on Facebook and on X. So here's the website. I'm going to show it to you now. This is through UPMC.com. Gives you all the things you need to know about becoming a living donor.
And we'll post all this on social with his interview. Patrick does a magnificent job with that on X and on Facebook. Go ahead, buddy. Sorry.
Yep. No. So there's a list. They give you the criteria, things that you have to know about yourself, because you have to be a healthy donor. You know, no history of liver disease. You know, they want to make sure you haven't had a history of kidney disease. You know, you've got to be able to actually go through the surgery, you know, to do this. So there's a checklist, and then they'll set you up. You do have to put in the patient's name that you're signing up to be a living
Makes
donor
sense.
For.
Makes sense.
And, you know, you fill out the form, send it in, and they'll contact you. The transplant team at UPMC will step through, and then they'll, you know, find out if you're a match or not. You also have the option of, you know, if you're not a match, so if you're signing up for David and you really want to help, if you're not a match for David, you can stay on the list and be a match for somebody else.
Great point, brother.
So you can still do
it. Great point. And also, Patrick, you know this, and we've kind of made people aware of this in this narrative that we've done for years. For 100 reasons, a kidney from a living donor is much more effective. It just is. The data shows that.
Absolutely. They last longer, and you know, there's a better chance of it being accepted coming from a living donor than a cadaver. So say somebody gets into a car accident, they're an organ donor on their driver's license and they've signed up. You know, they do those as quickly as possible, but it's always better to come from someone that's using that kidney.
So you understand, this is kind of wild, this number. Right now, in America, there are close to 100,000 Americans waiting for kidneys. Damn.
Wow.
Daunting, brother.
It really is.
David's kind of in that place. You could hear a little down. Well, he admitted it, right?
Yeah. Well, remember when Ryan was going through his? He was really depressed. And they get sick of it. It's, you know, having low to no kidney function also drains your energy.
Right on, brother.
So you're already in a low place. And then when you feel like there's no hope, you're going to get depressed. That's awful.
The average, this is actually kind of wild. The average wait time for a deceased donor. So you can take a kidney from a deceased donor, 3 years, 3 to 5 years. How about that? And the average wait time for a living donor is even longer. It's tough, man.
Yep, that's why it's important people sign up.
Right on.
If you're, you know, if you're in good health and you've got an extra kidney to spare, which most people do, it's a hell of a thing. You can literally save a life.
Well, that's why, quite frankly, to Patrick's point, people usually go through their family first because that's what you would do.
Absolutely. You're more likely to have a familial match first, but that doesn't always happen. Not everybody has family.
When we met Ryan, he was sick as hell. What did he say, 5%?
4%. Yeah.
And David's somewhat higher than that.
Mm-hmm. Well, you remember Jerry Whalen, the first person we ever, you know, talked to about a kidney. She was at like 1% to 2%.
Yeah. Man, she was working full time.
She was still waiting tables, you know, taking care of her kids.
We have people already asking for the link. We will get that to you.
Yep.
And get this going.
Yep. If you're listening, check out the streams right now. It's posted on Facebook, in the comments underneath the video and linked to the video. And if you're on X, same thing. It's in the chat.
Folks, the rats are on. The Pirates. Love the Pirates. So we will talk to you tomorrow.
Only at True North stores, new True Rewards members. Stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 10 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 20 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 30 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store, download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Lemonade! Fresh squeeze lemonade! Lemonade? Oh, nuts.
Is your business struggling to be seen? Not reaching the right customers?
Yeah.
Odyssey's here to help. Your one-stop shop for digital marketing.
Wait, really?
With targeted digital media, plus SEO, SEM, social, OTT, and more, we help your business reach the right audience and drive results.
Whoa, hey, one at a time.
Stop missing out on valuable customers. Visit digitallocalads.com to learn more about our local advertising solutions. That's digitallocalads.com.
Okay, people, line starts here.